For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, welcome to CarCast. We're going to be talking about the new AMG, the Mercedes AMG One. We're going to talk about the their new all electric Tesla Fighter as well. We're going to dig into a few things of the projects we've been working on as well as. There's the Arcimoto electric three-wheeler that I've been driving around town that I think Bill's going to be fascinated with. But before we get started, a word from our friends at Meguiar's. You know, over the last few years, Meguiar's has launched the next generation of protective products specifically geared toward DIYers. They have their new hybrid products, their hybrid ceramic products, their hybrid ceramic spray wax. This is the one that you find in the bright blue bottle. It has their advanced SiO2 hybrid technology. It delivers a ceramic wax protection and durability beyond traditional wax. They also have their hybrid ceramic liquid wax. This is similar, but it's a long-lasting ceramic protection and an easy-to-use wax. And our favorite over here is the hybrid ceramic spray detailer. For those in-between boosted maintenance that you need, it removes dust, fingerprints, bird droppings, and kind of helps give you that next layer of protection in between the full waxes. And this year, they've included their new product line with their ceramic wash and wax. This is in the bright orange bottle. This is a unique two-liquid system. You combine them together in one bucket, and it ends up washing, waxing your vehicle all at one time. So Meguiar's has a hybrid ceramic solution for everyone. It's ceramic made easy. It's Meguiar's. Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the Motorator. DeAndrea, we're here with Bill Goldberg. How's Texas?
It's strange, man. it's absolutely beautiful one minute, and then the next minute there's golf ball size hail flying through the air. So I mean, you know, it's it keeps you on your toes.
Yeah, as Gage is back in full speed with the sports and everything.
First day of pads, two-a-days for spring football was 97. So yeah, it's a nice welcoming weather for him in his second year of playing football, which now is high school. So yeah, it's interesting, man. Interesting, yeah. For sure.
It's interesting. I talked to Adam over the weekend as well, and I was like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "Oh, I'm in Orange County with Natalia, his daughter." He's like, "Sports are back up. It's happening." And I go, "Well, what are you doing?" He's like, "I don't know. She has back-to-back volleyball games." He's like, "We got to be in Orange County for 6 hours. We got to be down here watching games for 6 hours." And I was like, "Yeah, that's part of the job description." It is kind of.
Yeah, and everybody was bitching and moaning about not having games. And now the kids obviously get to go back out and do their thing. And now we're bitching and moaning about it. You
know? Yeah, that's kind of a long day, though. That's 6 hours of gameplay.
You're preaching to the choir. Gage has got baseball. So his baseball season is over with his school. Now he's in spring football practice. But next weekend, summer baseball picks up, right? So he works out and trains with the football team in the off season. But on the weekends, he travels out of town every weekend for 3 days to do a tournament, baseball tournament.
What's he liking more these days, baseball or football?
Who knows? I mean, he just got a taste of football for the first time last year. Now he's, you know, in high school and has a chance to play on varsity. So it's a toss-up, 50-50 right now.
Because he was really into baseball, you know,
it hasn't changed
for years.
But now he's really into football, you know, so it's tough.
Yeah.
But he's juggling it for a little bit.
Well, he's in high school, so he was really into baseball. He was really into football. Now he's going to be really into girls, and then everything's going to change. Exactly. Palm to face.
Yeah, and then he's going to be really into cars, right? So yeah. He's actually going to have another Goldberg driving around in the streets. So I don't know.
Well, you can keep him on the property for a while.
Thank you.
Yeah, you'll end up doing what my parents were doing. It's like driving me around for all the sports and the ROTC stuff every weekend. And then when I started getting a license, you know, they were like real strict, like you can only go here and you can only do this. And then they were like, we were sick of driving you around so you could go to your events. You could go to your baseball and your track and ROTC and you could like do all of those events. And then eventually my parents were going out of town every weekend and I was home alone just driving to my events. I was like, what happened here? We just flipped the script completely.
Oh, man. And it's like it's liberating.
Yeah,
I can imagine it's liberating and terrifying at the same time.
I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah. But now everybody has all this technology. There's cameras and tracking on phones and
oh yeah, dude, you kidding me? Yeah. I'm gonna have GPS. I'm gonna have a rev limiter. I'm gonna have a top speed limiter. I'm gonna be able to kick it down to two cylinders when I want. Whatever.
Yeah, everything.
I'm
right?
Be able to control it from my iPhone.
Yeah, yeah. It's gonna be funny because you're gonna be like, "Hey, Gage, we got you a Tesla." You're like, "Why?" You're like, "Cause I can shut the goddamn thing off with my phone." You know, from anywhere in the world.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
All right, so let me hit Dodge real quick. Dodge was ranked number one for initial quality and best driver appeal for mass market brands by J.D. Power. It's the first U.S. brand ever to be ranked number one in initial quality and appeal in the same year. So see your local Dodge dealer or visit Dodge.com to schedule your test drive. All right, well, speaking of, I saw some posts you put up of the Charger. This is the twin turbo wide body. Yeah, the twin turbo carbon fiber wide body. So it, you guys have been following along. This is the crazy, 1,500 horsepower twin turbo Charger Hellcat that you've been working on with Gearhead's Fabrication, and then it went to Speedcore. No, then it left Speedcore and went to Dave Salvaggio.
It was at Speedcore originally. It was at my house. It was a skinny tire car, so I think those are worthless compared to the wide body. So I had to do something special to it. I wanted to transform it like I did the Challenger. So it went to Speedcore. We got a number, obviously, of carbon fiber parts, whether it be the nose, whether it be the tail, the fender flares, and then you know with Dave's departure from Speedcore, he to me was Speedcore, so the car went with him. And then the carbon got finished up, the paint got finished up, then it went down to Mario at Gearhead Fabrications. We twin turboed it, new motor for the most part, and KW suspension, and the list goes on and on. You've seen it. And the fact is that it's been going back and forth, and I haven't seen it in about 2 years. And it was a long day ago at SEMA where, you know, we came up with this idea. Mm-hmm. And now it's ironic that I'm probably not going to see it until SEMA, you know, at the end of this year. But I'm going down to Orlando, hopefully in a couple days. And I get to actually put my butt in that seat for the first time in 2 years.
Now, this is still a rear wheel drive car. It wasn't converted to all wheel drive. So it's a bit of a balancing act on getting traction, but there was a couple teaser videos that you posted up on your social media, up on Instagram, of it just getting tested at the drag strip. I don't think you posted a full pass, but I think you posted just a couple of launches with this thing. Now, at the time, I think they had it set up with the parachute and everything, so I guess the intention is a full pass or a couple of full passes.
Well, here's the deal. You know, shaking a car down, right?
And yeah.
This car's Frankenstein. It's got a little bit of everything on it, you know, like a little bit of everything. So we're testing the combination. Obviously, they're testing the tune. They got to get the turbos right. We're testing the new tranny. We got a turbo 400 in there. So testing the traction. We're testing everything on that car. We're finding out through R&D, obviously, what works and what's not working. And yeah, I'm only going to show a snippet for right now, but there were some pretty wild passes, or not passes, pretty wild launches, and not all of them went straight by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to have to wear the pair of Depends or get some kind of a sponsorship deal with them the first probably week I'm driving that car, testing that car. And, you know, because I want to take it to its limit. And it looks as if that limit is very high.
It's going to be, it's going to be pretty
it's
crazy.
A balancing act. Yeah, it's a balancing act. So they actually got shut down last night because it started raining. So they got one complete pass. They weren't pushing it by any stretch of the imagination 100%. But they did get one complete pass on it, and you know I'll update everybody soon.
Now, at one point, you or Salvaggio teased a little bit of the paint. He just showed like a detail shot of you know some gloss and some carbon and a little bit of striping and stuff on it. Out there testing the vehicle, and all of that stuff is done. Is he running all the good body work on it, or has he got like a different hood on it or something right now? Like,
It's like I said, right now it's kind of Frankenstein.
Yeah, it's so, kind of Frankenstein because he's got some pretty high quality detailed pieces that, you know, just in case.
And it's always a timing issue, you know. I mean, especially in what's gone on over this past year and a half. I mean, everything can't fall into place exactly how you want to. So something aesthetically may have been done prior to the mechanical issues being shaken down. And so at the end of the day, once it's displayed in Magnaflow's booth in November, fingers crossed, everybody will be quite surprised and they'll be quite happy with what they see, I believe. If not, then I really don't care because I like it.
Yeah. Well, look, I dig it for sure, because if you think about the lineup now, just some of the toys you have in the garage right now, of course, the TRX with the Goldberg's pack on it, Goldberg's garage pack on it, or one of the packs. Who knows how many you're going to end up swapping that thing. It's an R&D vehicle. Well, now that your neighbor sent his TRX down there, you can do a little R&D on his as well. I saw
already got it. Already got it. So the update on that is that they made him a specific airbox, right? Because we were losing a lot of horsepower with that new design with the TRX airbox and the filter. And if you remember, I talked to you about K&N trying to do something. But they rectified, you know, temporarily that situation. So now he's going to have probably 20-something more horsepower than me. And so when the red eye is done and the truck drops the red eye off and my charger, the TRX will probably have a spot back down to Mario, and twin turbo is right around the corner.
Right. So you got the truck now. The red eye Challenger is great. That one's kind of set up for the corners a little bit more.
But we ported the blower. We got.
Yeah. So it's a higher horsepower, but you've got some handling in there now. The Charger is the drag race machine. Now, wait, are you driving another Charger as a daily?
No, unfortunately, the TRX is a daily now. I'm thinking of juicing up a Sprinter van, you know, from Dodge, but I don't know. I'm looking at a new venture, and so, yeah, I'm joking about that, but I'm half-heartedly not. But I don't know. I was thinking about it yesterday, man. I've got to get something as a driver, but I'm going to turn it into one of these other ones. And
I don't know
what's going to happen. I don't know. Well, I don't know what to do.
It's fun to tweak on them a little bit. Look, I was thinking about that too, going, I got to do the engine swap and the Lightning soon. I'm building the engine. We've got some parts coming in. I spoke to the guys at Pro Charger and they're sending me some used, parts that I can mess around with, like for prototyping. You know, they're like the shell of a supercharger. It's not pretty. It's a little dinged up. It's used. You know, it's been like a refurbished kind of deal. I don't even think it has all the gears and stuff in it. It's just something that I can mock up with whatnot. But knowing that I'm building that supercharger bracket for the Mustang Cobra and the Ford Lightning, and I've been driving the Lightning, I've got the new Mach 1 on the way, I'm like, well, at least I'll have something to drive while I'm working on these. But already I'm talking to guys like, hey, what are we going to do with the supercharger or turbo or something like that?
We're like, afflicted with something that's a disease.
I can't leave it alone. I can't leave it alone, but I guess that's part of the fun of
the only way humanly possible we're going to have a vehicle that we cannot customize is if it's uncustomizable. Right?
I know.
I mean, Tesla, you can't do much to a Tesla, can you?
No, I mean, Performance-wise, there's probably a few things, but not many. I don't really know for sure. But certainly cosmetically and everything else, you know, you can. There's always something to do, right?
Well, it's pretty. It's a pretty finite list on those Teslas, right?
Yeah.
Because I do believe that if it was out there, I'd see one or two or five that were really cool looking. And although I don't live in LA anymore.
At one point, Celine was doing a Celine Tesla, and I think Steve Celine still might be driving his version.
And you talked to him about that.
Yeah,
right?
he did a body kit and wheels and stuff on it. He might have done something on the stance. And I don't think he did anything to the electric motors or anything on the programming, but he did do a gear. He was able to swap a gear and improve the acceleration just based off of that. So some sort of gear swap. All right. Speaking of Ford Lightning, I just want to tell you guys that Ford's upcoming all-electric F-150, not to be confused with the hybrid F-150, right? We have the F-150 lineup, we have the hybrids, and the power boost, and the all-electric F-150, which, you know, Ford was doing this partnership with Rivian, right, the electric truck, and they still have a huge investment in that company. I spoke to some of the engineers on the EV side of the business when I was driving the Mustang Mach-E, and I believe most of their engineers or their office is in Europe. I think they have a lot of EV stuff happening there, not necessarily for the European market. That's just the office that they're using, and I don't think Rivian is going to end up being, the F-150. Right. So don't expect the Rivian pickup truck and the F-150 to be the same by any means. The F-150 is such a big, profitable, big selling vehicle for Ford. They weren't going to go, hey, let's just scrap F-150 and go with Rivian. So Rivian's truck is going to be Rivian's truck. And, you know, the verdict's still out on that. I like what the company is doing. A lot of eyes on them. But that's not what the F-150 is going to be. Some of the Rivian technology may end up being shared possibly with Lincoln. Like some of the things that are happening with Rivian's truck and their SUV could end up on the Lincoln side, which would make sense. But I believe Ford is developing all of their own stuff to underpin the F-150 EV. But this is kind of fun. Is the rumor is now they're bringing back the Lightning nameplate for the EV, for the F-150 electric. Of course, it makes sense. It'd be fun. Now, here's the thing, though, is my thought is you already took the Mustang Mach-E, an all-electric, you know, little SUV, and gave it the Mustang nameplate. And when you did that, Ford had to end up doing like a GT performance edition. They had to put some emphasis on the performance of it. So I don't think you can have a Ford Lightning and not have a little bit of a sport truck kind of performance option going on, especially because they already have Raptor and Raptor R coming out, right? So they're already and Tremor, by the way, right? And they, you know, so they've got the off-road stuff covered. They don't have the sport truck covered, and we know that there's a lot of advantages on going full EV when it comes to those like 0 to 60 times and whatnot. Yeah. So, and maybe we're not quite there yet.
A lot of wishful thinking in that theory.
There is a lot of wishful thinking, but I'd be interested to see. Listen, I Ford, when you bring that thing out here and you're ready for some photos, you let me know, because I've got a really nice F-150 Lightning that you could put that thing side by side, and we could do some photos and stuff together. You're more than welcome to use my truck. You just let me know when, and I'll try to make it available with or without an engine. I don't know. So you got to let me know soon to see what you guys want to do with that. But it is available. I am willing to make that available to you guys.
What? Yeah, that was an interesting little marketing deal there.
I Like, I think there's a lot of equity in reviving successful nameplates, right? This is why 100%. We keep pushing, you know, bringing back things like Challenger and Charger and, you know, Camaro a few times now. Mustang's been around the whole time. And you know, like, there was a – when Ford was really doing cars other than sports cars, you know, they had Ford Taurus. That was successful for them. Then they went to, like, the 500 or something and not successful, and they brought back the Taurus nameplate, and I think it did okay, but at least there was some equity there, some brand equity there. I think it kind of works. Before I get into some more stuff, let me tell you guys about Geico. You guys own your home or you rent your home, and we know how much work that can be. But you know what's easy? It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And we know that's a good thing because you already have so much to do around your home already. So just go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. All right. 370Z, Nissan, the new Z is rolling out. Our friends over at Nissan did a big event, a big cars and coffee event recently near their headquarters in Tennessee. And our buddy Dan Pass over there, Dan's a hot shot over there. He's one of the executives, nicest guy. And we work with him quite a bit over the years and always enjoy doing that. He has also taken on the role of managing the Nissan Heritage Museum, and I love that he's doing it. And this is basically a volunteer role for him. He gets paid. He's got a job at Nissan, but the Heritage Museum portion of it is sort of a volunteer role. They didn't bump up his salary for that one, but he's got such a love and a passion for their history. We've had so many conversations about, you know, embracing motorsport history and stuff like that with them. And it is nice to see that you should follow them. You guys that are the Nissan fans, I think the Nissan Heritage Museum is the Instagram page, and you'll start seeing some posts that they have going on there. But he took the Nissan Z Proto and drove it out of the museum, brought it to a cars and coffee, let everybody kind of see it up and close in person, and brought a social media team and got some videos and stuff for it. And they rolled out in the new Nissan Frontier as well, I believe, as their camera car, which is a great idea, right? Have the new truck there with the new car. And we start to think about, when is the new Z going to be coming out? And our best indication of that is what's happening with the 370Z at the dealers. And I think this past quarter they sold 12 cars. And not because nobody wants them. It's because they're not making them. They're clearing off the lots. So if you are interested in a 370Z, now's your chance. Maybe you can negotiate yourself a deal. There's a few around, but for the most part, this is a pretty good indication of saying, hey, we're getting, you know, let's sell whatever we've got left on the lots. No more 370Zs are being delivered. No more is being made. I don't think you can order anything. Now's your chance. If you want one of those, I'm sure they're willing to make a deal for you. I can't promise that, but you could call around and see what they got there and get in on that 370Z, because the new Z is coming out soon. The 370Z has been out for a minute, right? We're about 12 years, something like that. Yeah, it's about 12 years old. Anyway, so if you guys are interested in that, go and check that out.
You'll be interested. No, I had a 300 CX.
You did have a 300. Yeah. You know,
college.
You had a 300. Adam had a 350Z when that came out, sort of that retro styling. We've got the 370 anniversary car. I like what's going on with this new Z. I don't know if it's going to be called a 400, but I like what's going on.
It's got the twin turbo engine. Yeah, if you tap into the nostalgia and you do it properly and you don't shitbag on tradition, then I think it's a good market move.
I mean,
everybody's doing it, still, right? And it's cyclical.
Still fairly small, fairly lightweight. It's got a manual transmission, 400 horsepower. turbo. And that's before we breathe on it like we do with everything that we do. I don't know. It seems kind of – seems like it could be kind of interesting. I saw it up close, and then we saw some photos that leaked over time. You know, the yellow one that you guys have seen, and the grill looks very big. And I was trying to explain that, you know, there's sort of two sections, an upper and lower grill, and it has different patterns and different depth to them, but it's very, very tough to see in any of the photos. And when you see the car in person, you can tell there's something going on there that's got a little bit more character. And then some photos came out recently of like a gray one and a silver one, I don't know, like in a storage container or shipping container or whatever they're doing with it. And Nissan even went is to do some chrome trim and some different accents on the grill to kind of separate the upper and lower. So I think, you know, I think it's going to look good when you see it in person. And of course, keep in mind, these are one of the most modified vehicles that are out there as well. So once the aftermarket gets a hold of what they're going to do, you know, like I was saying, my neighbor does like body kits, and he's got the BMW M4 with the giant nostrils in the front. He's already like scanning and trying to come up with a different front end for that thing.
Please, dear God, I bet that's going to be a big seller.
Yeah. Anyway, so for the Nissan and the aftermarket and stuff, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, you're talking about aftermarket. Did you witness and or hear anything about the SEMA town hall that was a couple days ago?
I didn't see the event. I heard about it, but I didn't have time to, you know, sort of like tune in or whatever. Did you hear anything about
anything? No. Anything newsworthy that came out of it?
No. But all I'm hearing is still moving forward on a fully stocked SEMA show. That new expansion to the convention center, it's going to be in there as well. I'm not exactly sure what we're going to be doing out there yet. We're going to start talking about that soon, as far as on the podcast side, you and I and Adam as well. I would imagine if they want to create a little bit of space between the booths and a little bit wider walkways, they might be able to do so because they have, you know, almost another million square feet. It's like 1.4 million, but when you break it down to, you know, hospitality and food and check-in registration areas and whatever it ends up being, it's, I don't know, it's something like a million square feet, but that's massive. I don't know what that does to the current layout, you know, because so many companies have their booths built and designed for their location, and they use them year over year. They just sort of decorate them up a little bit different. But if you go to everybody, let's say that central hall, that Hot Rod Alley, where, you know, where Magnaflow and Ford and GM and, you know, Edelbrock and Holley and all those guys are, if you go to them and say, we need to create a little bit more room. So what does that mean? Everybody's booth is a little smaller. Everybody's booth is the same size, because that's expensive to change. The walkways get bigger. So somewhere toward the edges, whoever had a booth there gets bumped out, right? And they got to go to another location. And then what does that do for foot traffic? So there's a lot of, I'm sure there's a lot of things that are happening. Or they just say, you know, everything's going to be fine by then. Everybody's vaccinated. Everything's going to be fine. It's in November and it's Vegas. And if you're really, really concerned, mask up or don't go. I don't know. I don't mean that like in a meeting.
No, here's a question. So, you know, Vegas, Nevada and Vegas specifically can have its restrictions, its specific restrictions. But as you and I both know, we're going with Barrett Jackson here in June.
Yeah.
And Barrett Jackson has, and they have their own rules. The question is, since SEMA is always in Vegas and they're Vegas based, I would imagine, are they going to have the Vegas rules, or are they going to have their own set of rules, you know, that are more restrictive?
Yes. So far, I don't know. We'll have to get some more information about it.
Because they have the Vegas rules, I mean, they're pretty lenient, we know, comparatively,
yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, and that's a good question. The last, I had a little visit from our friend Richard Reyes over at Magnaflow the other day. Came by to check out my new space. And, you know, I got to check out his truck, his Overlander truck that he's been working on. He's been doing a lot of content with that. So if you guys are into that, you should definitely follow him. Follow him, Oxidizer on Instagram and Magnaflow on Instagram. He's been posting a lot of stuff. But he was saying, you know, he wasn't sure. He hasn't gotten like a rule book yet, but they're doing booth selections and everything else and moving
well,
forward.
Well, surely they're doing booth selections because you have to throw your deposit in. But how can you do a booth selection if you really don't have a manual that tells you what the itinerary is going to be if there is? Yeah. So I'm just very curious to see. Thank you, by the way, Richard. Rigid Industries are the best lighting, off-road lighting I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, my gosh. I saw your photos of that thing. That's a lot.
Oh, my gosh, is right. I can see a deer in the next county driving home.
Yeah, excellent. The photos, if you guys want to see the bumpers, you could see the ADD bumpers and the lighting kit all on the front of the truck and the thing. Again, Goldberg's Garage on Instagram. Go and check that
out. As I posted, I never thought I'd have a vehicle with one light on it, one extra light, let alone like 90. But yeah. Man, is it? Do I get how they can haul ass off road? You know, in these Baja races at night. My God, I mean, it's just like the daytime. It's crazy.
Yeah, you know. And the other thing I noticed was those bumpers. I don't know. I think those are the prototypes that they sent you. They fit pretty good. They snug up pretty good. I thought they were going to stick out more and everything, but they did a good job with that.
Bang up job. First, I mean, I'm sure it wasn't their first attempt at it, but the finished product, man, I have nothing but high praise for that. 100%.
Okay, so let me tell you guys about Empire Covers real quick, and then I want to talk about what's going on with this Mercedes AMG One, the hypercar, which I feel like we saw this at LA Auto Show a million years ago, like what's going on with these concepts, but now it seems to be moving forward. But Empire Covers, you know, nowadays cars are designed to keep you safe on the road, but are you providing the same protection for your car off the road? That's where Empire's Covers comes in. Empire Covers, they have high quality, affordable covers engineered to protect against rain, UV rays, tree sap, pollen, pretty much anything that damages your vehicle paint. And for premium protection, you can try their American Armor cover. It's proudly made in their Kentucky factory, and they have covers for RVs, boats, motorcycles, and more. And all covers come with a free multi-year warranty. So here's the deal. You can get free shipping plus an extra 15% off your entire order with promo code CARCAST. Go to empirecovers.com/CARCAST. Use promo code CARCAST at empirecovers.com. So it's Empire Covers. Protect what you love.
Did they protect against hail damage?
They have the thicker, like padded ones that I think can do some of that hail damage stuff. Okay. You know, just getting something in between that hail and
I use my bottom. Doormat.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You can use a doormat.
Anything you could.
You know what you need? You need a big ass garage.
No shit. Yeah.
Well, if it's not hail, then they could start digging and keep getting down on that, keep working away on that.
Exactly. Thank God.
All right. So the Mercedes AMG One. This is their latest, their newest hypercar. It's going to be a hybrid. We knew that. It's kind of crazy looking. It seems like this prototype has been around for a while. I don't know that they're actually going to be making a ton of these things.
All they need to make is one, man.
Yeah, I know. They need to make one. It looks like 275. I'm sure there's some relevance to that number, but 275. But it's been, they've been testing it out on the roads. They've been putting it out on the track. This is what we know. It's a hybrid. It has a 1.6 liter turbocharged V6. And if that's correct, 1.6 liters is a tiny, tiny V6. Wait, I kind of feel like we're talking to Christian von Koenigsegg at this point, right? With his little tiny
exactly.
Chimera engine, or I think it is.
Three-cylinder thing or whatever.
Yeah, so they're not saying what the output is in this information here. I'm sure we'll get it at some point. Maybe it's out there. But total power output is 1,100 horsepower, and the little engine will spin to 11,000 RPMs. I have no idea what that's going to sound like.
Doesn't it kind of look like this old CLK, their race car?
It kind of does. But
a smaller version.
The specs with this tiny engine and this high horsepower, this is all Koenigsegg to me, right? So you've got to think that they're going after a little bit of that market, the Jesko or the Yesko. Or
why not? Everyone else is.
You know, so it's a cool looking vehicle. It's definitely supercar-ish looking. It's not anything 911-ish. It's even more, I'd say, supercar-ish than Carrera GT is. But 11,000 RPM, 1.6 liter sounds kind of amazing to me.
But look what it does to you, right? Just reading the stats, it does that. It gives you that feeling again. It's like, wow, this is cool. I can't wait to see or drive or, you know, get an opportunity to hear one of these.
Yeah.
I mean, that's porn, right? That's automotive porn.
I mean, does it sound like a motorcycle? Does it sound like a race bike? You know, I mean, and then the electric powertrain is going to have to make some noise as well. It can't be completely quiet. I was just driving around town on this. Wait till you see this thing. This Arcimoto. It's like a three-wheeler. It's an electric three-wheeler.
Well, I cannot wait to see this thing. It's like you have to be sitting in it, on it, or next to it, please, with a helmet on.
And you don't have to wear a helmet. Here's the deal. There's no sides, right? It has optional doors, but that's just a weather thing. So I didn't have doors. And then above me, sort of roundish, like a halo, was like a roll bar with clear, like, polycarbonate, you know, so it's like a giant windshield. And there's two wheels in the front, one in the back. It's electric. It's all electric. I'll get the specs and I'll post some videos up on my social media and stuff. And it's tandem. It's a two-seater, right? So, but the electric motor makes some noise, especially when it's all open like that. I want to say it was like 70-something horsepower. It has like 106-mile range.
You're describing a vehicle that I could picture myself in any day of the week.
You know what's interesting is I know on the ranch, you know, you've got the UTVs and all that stuff. This is the electric version.
My cows would laugh at me, dude. No, it's just the way you're describing this thing. It's not going to happen.
It's got an interesting little buzz to it. I buzzed around town.
you're painting a picture like you're buzzing around town like George Jetson.
I kind of do. Like, no, I got some interesting
Chris,
videos.
Send me videos.
He doesn't have the videos.
Post it on your Instagram. Oh, you'll bust the internet. Come on.
it's me trying to launch this thing from the start, and you can hear it just go.
Please, man. Please, I'm begging you.
All right. As soon as I wrap this episode, I'm going to post a few things up on my Instagram. I'll get you some more specs on it. It was fun to drive around town, and then I met with the guys. I met with the CEO. They make it in Oregon, and it's going to be available here. And their business model is not just consumers. They're doing some things. There's like a first responder one. As long as the first responder doesn't need to be there in a real rush.
Really? There's a first responder?
Maybe it's second or third responder, but it's
Can
still...
Can we please change the subject? I don't want to bag on this company because it might be awesome. Man.
No, and it's a fun thing. Like, listen, if you're...
So it's got a siren on it, and it's going to stop traffic in LA, and all of a sudden everybody's going to stop because they hear a siren. And here comes you and your George Jetson thing dressed like a first responder. I can picture that.
I was thinking more like on Catalina or someplace in Hawaii, right? Like sort of a zero emissions roll up on this thing. There's like a delivery.
Just as long
version.
As you're not in too much peril, it could be a first responder.
Right. Maybe it's second responder. there's like a delivery version. So instead of the two seats, it's got like an enclosed back, and you can do deliveries, like last mile delivery, like Amazon stuff.
Okay, is it like that Domino's?
It's kind of like a bigger version of the Domino's pizza delivery, like the autonomous pizza delivery guy. Which, by the way, another great use for this thing. Stack up some pizzas, grocery delivery, Drizzly. I think it would be great for all of those, right? It's quiet.
But nothing else.
Yeah.
come on, honey.
Well, look, I don't know. Like,
I need to see video.
Yeah, I'm just gonna leave it there. Where were we? We were AMG 1100 horsepower. I don't know how we ended up on.
Yeah, it's nice how'd you segue into that?
I don't know, the electric thing. I think it was on the electric thing. All right. So speaking of electrics, to more Mercedes news. Mercedes is finally coming out with a legit Tesla competitor, the EQS. I know this has sort of caught the attention of our buddy Alistair Weaver at Edmunds. So I haven't seen it in person yet. But the EQS is a luxury sedan. I believe it's the first sort of all-electric luxury sedan coming from Mercedes. The photos are sort of this two-tone thing, like the black and the silver, like they were doing with the Maybach. I think it looks stupid, but maybe it's just the color combination. That's all I could say with it. I just don't like how it's being here. I think maybe the lines of the vehicle. I don't know. Like the lines of the vehicle.
Put that in perspective after describing what you just drove.
Yeah, it's definitely not an AMG one. That's for sure. I don't know. Like something about the line on this thing, the belt line across the side has a little bit of that VW CC. If you remember that from a couple of years ago, maybe it's still out. I think it's been replaced by the Arteon. But anyway, it's the interior looks gorgeous. It's going to have plenty of room for it, and we love all the stitching and stuff that's going on. I believe it's just a massive screen, but integrated into the dash, not kind of tacked on. Essentially, three screens, like digital gauge cluster in front of the driver, a big central screen, and even one in front of the front passenger as well. I'm not exactly sure what the passenger can do with it, but maybe control things like entertainment and climate control. Now, what I can tell you right now is there's going to be two versions of this to start with. And I say to start with because Mercedes likes to do an AMG version. So there's the EQS 450 Plus, which is a single motor, rear wheel drive, 329 horsepower and 406 pound feet of torque. Expect that somewhere in the 5.5 second 0 to 60 range. Certainly not Tesla beating by any means, but that's the base version. There's an EQS 584-matic. So this is going to be an all-wheel drive version, 516 horsepower and 611 pound-feet of torque. That should get you down to the 4.1 second range. Now imagine there's going to be an AMG version of this, right? This is where Mercedes is going to say, yes, now we're going after that 2-point-something second range that Tesla's doing. Now, as far as range, we don't have the actual range yet, but the estimated range is 457, I think. That's the Euro spec, and the Euro spec seems to be it was usually a little more optimistic than the way we test here. But what's happening is we're finding out and talking to Alistair is a lot of the guys are beating the range. I think he said pretty much all of the cars he tested other than the Tesla was beating the range. So I don't know. If we're somewhere in that 400 plus, 420, 450 range, that's a big step up from, you know, let's say the average of, you know, 250 that a lot of the other car manufacturers are doing.
Yeah, and I have to tip my hat in that they successfully are void of any character with the car going getting into the all electric space. I mean, they've taken all of the sexiness out of the design of the vehicle, so it should fit well in the space.
Yeah, although the interior is impressive. The interior does
That's
look
different.
Like, yeah. I think the living space of this and thinking about how you're going to use the car, I think is going to make a difference because that interior is gorgeous. Now, granted, this vehicle is, you know, it's got all the great stitching and all the the screens are lit up in blue and to white, and you know, it just looks like, you know, a showpiece for sure. It looks good. It's definitely something that I think they need to get into. I think the idea of getting into it with a luxury version of their EV is better than just going, because they're going to have that AMG One as their halo hybrid vehicle, right? With mm-hmm. So now doing this, and then can we get this as an AMG version? That's going to be the interesting portion of it, I think, as well. So anyway, good for them. If you guys are interested in competitors to the luxury EV market, because we talked about Audi GT coming out, right? Those as well, and Porsche Taycan. This is Mercedes's version of what they're doing. There's a few more things. I think the other thing I wanted to touch on was Bronco, right? There's some delays with Bronco, but Ford continues to test, and they've done this for a few times with their other vehicles. Of course, is in disguise. They've taken like the Raptor out and did some Baja racing and some things like that. The Bronco, obviously, it's not disguised. They took it to the Nora Mexican 1000 Baja Rally. They ran it in the stock class. So they took the four-door Bronco, I think the Badlands version of it, basically stock other than safety equipment, roll cages and stuff, and they put it out there, and they wanted to see how it was going to go. They didn't have, you know, the professional, like, ringer driver. They had him, but he was on the crew and was advising the team, and two of Ford's engineers, obviously good drivers, but two of Ford's engineers brought it out there, and it did very well. I believe it was third in its class. Yeah, it took third in its class. Interesting enough is their Ford Ranger won first in its class, and there's a lot of, you know, platform to be shared here between Ranger and Bronco. And the Glickenhaus vehicle took second. I got to look
at that. That doesn't surprise me at all. Yeah. I've been following them on Instagram with the build of that off of it. They're cutting edge for sure, man. I'm very interested in the stuff that they're doing, especially with that GT car.
Yeah. Well, the Bronco did well, so that's a good sign. It had the roll cage and harnesses and seats and fire equipment, but it had the 2.7-liter EcoBoost V6. It had the 10-speed automatic transmission. On some of the dry lake bed areas of the event, they were doing, you know, 100-plus miles an hour. They ran it on 33-inch BF Goodrich all-terrain tires. I think they did something with the axles. Yeah. Anyway, it looked it had all the standard equipment on it. It seemed to run pretty good. It's a good sign, I think, for those of you that are on the list for the Bronco, and it should be coming out for you guys soon. It seems like it did pretty well. The photos and everything look badass on it. So you know, hopefully, it's going to turn out to be what everybody thinks it's going to be. You know, meanwhile,
I want to thank Ford very much for extending the delivery of these vehicles, because my son's 15th birthday is Monday, and now it's quite possible that for his 16th birthday, they still may not be out. So I could possibly give that to him when he gets his first license. But you know, yeah. Interesting.
Well, that's a badass car for a 16-year-old.
Then there's that. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, later. We'll have to talk about that. I assume many rules are going to be applicable here.
100%, and all of the new apps and all of the controlling devices and tracking and everything will be associated with that vehicle. But yeah, I mean, hey, price point and cool factor and, second generation of that vehicle, truly second generation of that vehicle coming out done right. I think it's a possibility.
Yeah, I can't wait to drive it. I actually was impressed by the Bronco Sport, and now I'm really starting to see them all over the roads, and it's turning out that they're selling very well. And I think we're like 3 days away. Well, I was recording this, so maybe when you guys hear it, like 2 days away from Mach-E hitting like all of the showrooms because a lot of deliveries and stuff for the Mach-E are coming in. And Mach-E. All right, before we wrap things up, I want to remind you guys that Dodge has officially opened orders of the new 2021 Durango SRT Hellcat. I've been driving it. It's been a blast. The most powerful SUV ever. They claim 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds. I think Edmunds even did it on their test track in like 3.8. The thing is a beast for sure. And everyone that ordered one, those orders will be fulfilled. That's what we're told, at least. It's exclusive for 2021. It features 710 horsepower. This new aggressive exterior styling that really is kind of reminiscent of the wide-body Charger. That's where they're getting that style. And that new interior is fantastic. We talked about that driver-centric cockpit, and now that I've driven it, that large screen, the 10.1 screen, the Uconnect version 5, it's a lot faster than before. The screen is really good in that thing. So I'm not sure how many vehicles that's going to trickle into, but I'm sure like Grand Wagoneer and all the Jeeps and stuff have it. I don't know that the Trackhawk has it yet, but hopefully it will. I don't know if we're going to continue to have the Trackhawk. But anyway, all buyers will receive a full day of pro instruction at the Radford Racing School. Deliveries are beginning now. And as you know, Dodge was ranked number one for initial quality and best driver appeal for mass market brands by J.D. Power. It's the first U.S. brand ever to be ranked number one in initial quality and appeal in the same year. So see your local Dodge dealer or visit Dodge.com today to schedule a test drive. All right. I'm trying to think of what else have we got going on? Nothing.
Not much with me, man.
Shrugging your shoulders.
I'm a high-priced nanny waiting for a garage and his twin turbo to be delivered.
Do we have a little bit of a timeline on the garage now? Do we have some...
We're looking at hopefully by September it'll be 100% complete.
By September, that's moving along.
We'll see.
Yeah, that's moving along.
Good weather.
I got an email from the guys going, "Hey, we're gonna start getting you the mezzanine that you want for your cave." And I'm like, "Yeah, let's do that." And they're like, "Well, what color do you want it?" It's like, "I don't know. Just send it over." it's a mezzanine, but now that I keep moving stuff in there, right? You know, the storage stuff and bringing parts. And every time I come out here, I clean out more of my stuff and I bring it over there. And I'm starting to think of, yeah, I kind of do want that damn thing over there now. So
exactly. It's liberating, isn't it? To have your own space to be able to stretch out and do whatever you want.
I mean, just knowing that to get an extra 200, 220 square feet, I think we're going to end up about 220 square feet.
You'll need it.
And just kind of take my office workspace and put it up in the air, and I got more storage and everything underneath. That'll be exciting to do. So I'm looking forward to that. But I don't know. They better hurry up. By the time it arrives, my lease will be up on this place. That's why I told them it's got to be modular. I got to be able to move it. And, not that I'm moving anytime soon, but you never know because it's California.
Never know.
Anyway, we'll wrap it up. Thanks so much. You can follow us on social media. As we said before, you can follow us at CarCast Show on Instagram. You can follow me at Motorator and Goldberg and Goldberg Garage on Twitter. Goldberg95, Goldberg's Garage on Instagram. Follow him on Instagram. You see the car stuff up there. You see the bumpers, the lights, and the this and the that, and all the good stuff. And I'll put up super awesome drag racing videos of me and the Arkimoto.
Three-wheeler. Dear God, I'm begging you.
It doesn't make much sound. It's literally like a Jetsons thing. It's got kind of a Jetsons thing going on.
Sound.
It was fun to throw around, man. I only drove it around for a day. And I had to give it back. I had to think of like LA things to do. It was like Venice things to do. But all right, guys. Thanks so much. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.